This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good short week Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
Yes, happy almost Thanksgiving. I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 24th, episode 1048, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. It is Thanksgiving week, and an early happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. That means a short week for most people and a shopping week for some. But, Jamie, I saw over the weekend that you had posted, we've had a conversation on the show for regular listeners about your dog, Boomer, actually Chad's dog, Boomer, who has turned out to be a challenging puppy, to say the least. And I saw over the weekend that he was having problems with baby Luke.
Yeah, we've been trying since the beginning. You know, Boomer and his sister Zenyatta are English Shepherds, and Zenyatta could not be a better baby dog. I mean, she has loved him from when I was pregnant, she was like attached to me, you know, all of a sudden, and she has just been right there the entire time. Anytime he walks over to her, she flops down on her back, she plays with him, they throw, but it's great. Boomer, on the other hand, has not warmed to the baby. And we've tried everything. From Boomer's been on Prozac for 4 months to get him to just calm down, be relaxed around the kid. We have done everything from every night Lucas feeds Boomer, gives him treats all day long, just everything we can possibly think of to get Boomer and Lucas to be friends. And Boomer just won't have it. He's just too nervous around him, I think. I think it's a fear thing. And anytime Lucas comes too close, except for when we have the treats, Boomer growls at him. And, you know, I can't tell a 17-month-old child, they just don't understand. You can't trap him in the corner. You can't do this. You can't do this. Don't go by him when he's eating. You know, they just don't. He's not old enough, and I don't have a couple more years to wait to try to get Lucas to learn that, you know, you have to respect Boomer's space a little bit more. And with a really heavy heart, we decided to have to find Boomer a home, because find him a home while he's still growling at the baby versus deal with the repercussions of a dog that bites a baby. You know, we thought we'd be a little more proactive. So I contacted his breeder, and she put him on an English Shepherd rehoming page. And within, I figured it would take a month. I was like, okay, we'll give it a month and we'll see how it goes. It was literally an hour, and I had 5 different people that were interested and that have been looking for a trained English Shepherd. You know, his manners are impeccable. In the house, he's potty trained. He chases the horses, but that's what these people, you know, people that get English Shepherds are okay with their herding. They actually teach them to herd versus me, who tells them to stop herding.
Well, they need a job. I mean, that's the other thing. Yeah.
Yeah, he needs a job, and we thought a 3-acre farm would be plenty, but it's just not big enough for Boomer. So I found a 20-plus acre actual farm. The lady lives up in Washington. She has 2 kids, but they're 8 and 11, and he's great with kids that age. You know, we have people that come here for riding lessons all the time, and he is nothing but respectful and friendly to everybody who comes on the farm. And she is a farmer, and they have 20 acres, and they live in the middle of nowhere, and I just couldn't be more happy about how this ended up working out. He's going to fly on December 5th. He's going to get in a plane like a big boy, and he's going to fly all the way up to Seattle, and where he's going to meet his new owners. And you know what? This is really cool, and I never thought about this. She's like, okay, in a couple of days, we're going to mail you some things for Boomer. We're going to send you some toys. We're going to send you a sweatshirt and all this stuff that we are going to sleep with as a family, put the kids, some stuff of the kids and some stuff of ours, so he gets to know our smell. I was like, that's really smart. So basically when the crate opens and he gets to Seattle, he's like, oh, I know you guys. I've been smelling you. Isn't that cool?
Wow, I never thought about that. That is a neat idea.
I hadn't either. So he is going to live with, about 10 goats, chickens, turkeys, pigs, tractors. They drive tractors all day. Boomer's going to get to ride tractors all day. It's going to be like the best day ever for him. And I'm looking for her Facebook post because he's going to herd everything. He's so excited.
I hope they're not fainting goats because herding won't take long.
Well, he'd be so freaked out.
Boomer
will
be out there running around. There'll be 12 goats all laid out the ground.
He's like, wow, I am the best.
Why won't they move?
Well, I was looking at her Facebook post, and this is just the difference in the way that people live. You know, my little vegetarian house, Boomer's lucky to get a scrap of meat from the table, from Chad's plate. This is her Facebook post yesterday. Big day tomorrow, 19 turkeys to slaughter, and hopefully a bunch of our extra hens and roosters. We're going to have so much meat in the freezer by the end of tomorrow. I was like, oh, my God, he's going to be so happy. He's going to be, like, up to his ears and blood and guts.
Finally going to be rid of that vegetarian woman.
I know. But, you know, of course, like, she shared it on her page that they were getting this new dog, and I read the post and just started crying, and this is her post. Exciting news here at Willowwood Farms. For several years, we've been searching for an English Shepherd to add to our menagerie. They are an awesome breed, but not so easy to find. But this past weekend, stars aligned, and a family searching for a new home for their lovely dog found our family. Boomer, this beautiful 4-year-old English Shepherd, will be coming out in a few weeks to his new home with us. And I read that last night, and I started crying. I know it's going to be good. It's just tough, you know. I mean, it's to make a family decision like that and to have Chad on board. You know, I'm home with Boomer all the time, and I see how much this happens. But finally, Chad saw the growling. And, you know, it's just not fair to Boomer because we're just constantly yelling at him and locking him outside.
And you know what? He does need acres. He needs 20 acres to run around and be a shepherd. You know, that's what he needs.
Yeah.
He needs a job. And, you know, he's going to – and there it sounds like he'll have a job and he'll have free run of the place. And that's what those kind of dogs love. We had one dog, a Houlihan, that just would not come in the house ever. I mean, if it was 3 feet of snow outside in Pennsylvania, that dog would not come in the house. Her job was outside taking care of the horses. She slept with the horses. If the horses were outside, she slept in the field with them. That was her job. She would not come in the house. And she spent her entire life on the farm being a farm. She was a farm dog. You know, that was her job. So,
his job is going to be, he's going to live. She's like, he can come inside and outside. They have a doggy door with a mud room kind of thing. But she's like, you know, what we want him to do is sleep outside, and his job is to warn us for coyotes. And I was like, oh, my God, that's the perfect job, because he lets us know if there's a coyote anywhere close to our property. And then we just realized this is really going to work when he's going to actually have, like, a paying gig. So as hard as it is to let go of a family member that you've had for 4 years, we're just doing the right thing for him and for us and for Lucas. And it's just, you know, it's not fair to wait for something really bad to happen. Let's be proactive and let's find a place. And I couldn't be luckier having found this situation for him. You know, we had so many people. We had 5 people immediately start to send us, you know, their resume basically and why they should have the dog. And I just really connected with this woman, and she's like, come visit us anytime. I'm like, you may not say that once you meet this dog, but whatever, we'll come. Sounds good.
Well, good for you. I'm glad Boomer found a home.
Thanks.
That's good.
It's be tough, but it'll be okay.
And you know what? Congratulations on being mature enough to make that decision, because that's what needed to happen. So
I got to give it to my husband. It's his dog, you know, and he's kind of upset, but he understands. But I'm really proud of him for agreeing and going for it. You know, just what you have to do, I guess.
Well, Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, our pre-feast frolic through the equinosphere, we will be finding out what is in a name and whether or not a rose by any other name is a permitted name, thanks to a little bit of coaching from the Jockey Club Registrar, Rick Bailey. So we're going to find out how it happens, when it happens, and what you're allowed to call your horse. And following a rousing round of Let's Find Some Happy Headlines, the wily voice of Horse Nation takes us to task. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. All right, Tailey Winnie time. Well, I want to thank Doreen, Robin, and Celeste for being the first guinea pigs for the first auditor roundtable that we did. Of course, the auditors are fans of ours who have taken the next step and are donating a little bit every month to the Horse Radio Network because they like the programs that much and they want to support it. And we are going to start doing periodic auditor roundtables. And what this was, Jamie, is the three of them got together. I just moderated. I didn't say much, believe it or not. And I wanted to jump in a couple times, and I stopped myself. But I just asked leading questions and let them go. And it was an hour of them sitting around like they were in a tack room, three new horse friends talking to each other. And it was really fun to listen to about their lives and horses. And it was just fun to listen to them chat. And it's now out. You can find it over on the Stable Scoop feed. So just go to stablescoop.com, or if you have the app, just go to the Stable Scoop show on the app and you'll find the first auditor roundtable. I'd love for you to listen to it. I've gotten some emails already that people loved it. Other auditors listened and they want to be on the show. So I think it's going to just be a nice addition to the network and really for the real diehard listeners to share with each other and listen to. So, and all of the names on there pretty much you've heard on the show here before, either as guests or either as guests or as co-hosts. Yeah, it's still in co-hosts. So good job. You can find it, Auditor Roundtable, on the Stable Scoop feed.
And
check it out.
And real quick, Glenn, tell everybody what an auditor is, just so if they want to be an auditor, they can find out.
If you want to be an auditor, go to horsesinthemorning.com or horseradionetwork.com. There's a big banner in the middle of the page. You can click on that. And it's just a way for our listeners and our diehard listeners for the years to help support the network. Half of the money that we get every month from the auditors goes to the host to supplement their measly wages that they make from us. You know, we are ad supported, but the ads just barely cover what we do every month. None of us makes a lot of money doing this. And that includes Jennifer and I, but we love what we do, and we wouldn't do anything else. And in order to help fund that, the auditors donate a little bit through a program that we have set up. And it can be anywhere from a dollar a month. Some people give $5, $10, $25 a month. It's whatever you feel like you can afford to give. And since this show came out, we had five new people sign up, so thank you to them. So we appreciate your support, and you can find that just on any of the shows. Websites, there's a big banner right in the middle of the page. That's how you can go be an auditor. And if you can't afford it, that's fine too. We're not stopping you from listening to the shows. But, you know, maybe what you can do is just go hop on your Facebook page and tell everybody about the Horse Radio Network. You know, tell all your friends at the barn, tell everybody you know. That's as big a help as any donation you could give as well. Your turn. Maybe.
My daily winning kind of goes to, well, let's start with you guys for hopefully getting my humor. I took a riding lesson with a woman yesterday named Amanda and got some help with jumping Edward. And I realized how some people just don't get my humor at all. I have this tendency when
you're
we have
learning that.
I know. Well, it was just so apparent yesterday. You know, I'm sitting on Edward, and she's an eventer, and she's an eventer extraordinaire. And we were doing this exercise, and she's like, I learned this exercise from Buck Davidson. And we all know who Buck Davidson is. But when people, not that she was name dropping, but she was talking, when people say, like, name drop, I always go, never heard of him. When obviously I've, of course, heard of Buck Davidson. And she looks at me when I said, never heard of him. She looks at me like, oh my gosh. She's like, Buck Davidson is the son of Bruce Davidson, and he events, and he's, you know, and she starts giving me the bio on Buck freaking Davidson. And I was like, I'm just kidding. You know, I know Buck Davidson is. And I just realized, wow, she doesn't get me at all. And I wonder how many people don't get my jokes because my husband thinks I'm hilarious. So
there's someone for everyone.
I just realized, too, I was like, wow, I'm really thankful that Glenn and Jennifer laugh at my jokes and they think I'm funny.
We get them, and the listeners get them. Now, we have had emails in the past that we've, you know, that haven't gotten either you or me, and that's okay. They can go listen to some other show.
That was like, that was such a, like, slap in the face, like, oh, my God, seriously? You thought I was serious? Like, I said it so sarcastic, but she's like... Chad was sitting there too, and he's like, she was kidding. He's like, I get her humor. He goes, I think you're funny, sweetie. And she's like, oh, she just goes, I was just trying to hide my surprise that you didn't possibly know who Buck Davidson was. It's weird little things like that, but it's a stark reminder at how, you know, what goes on in your head may not play out with what you say, you know? So anyway, I just wanted to let everybody, give everybody a little heads up and a little thank you for at least thinking I'm funny enough to keep this job. But it was kind
do.
Of an embarrassing moment.
You can stay another couple days, okay?
Thanks, right. Boss.
You're
Thanks.
Welcome. Yeah, you're welcome.
It's so embarrassing. I'm so embarrassed.
Well, Dr. Ellen from New York City wrote in. You remember she was the one that helped us set up the guest that we had for the Equus Film Festival over the weekend. She said, thanks for letting us talk about the Equus Film Festival at Miss Theater in Harlem on your show Friday. It was a huge success. The movies featured were informative and entertaining, met great people, artists, directors, filmmakers, and writers. Saturday morning was dedicated to and open to the community. Some young equestrians, my friends, came down from upstate near my country home to participate in this event. Many others came from Ohio, Georgia, Florida, and other states. Several were international, including the artist, whose name I can't say, who drew the horse logo for the EFF. I loved every minute of it. Cheers to the Equestrian Film Festival in New York City 2014. So I'm glad it went well. That's good. You know, we need more of that kind of thing around, and maybe next year we can make our way up and participate in it as well. But good for them.
Phoenix Film Fest. Come on, you guys. Why would you go anywhere cold like that in the middle of winter? Come on to Phoenix. It's like 75 here every day. Phoenix Film Fest.
You know, everybody goes to New York City at Christmas time. That's one thing we've never done. We've never been at New York City at Christmas time. I've never seen the Rockettes do their leg thing. Never seen them.
Bucket list.
Hey.
Write that down.
Right. I want to be in the first row. Well, let's do this. Everybody's been, we both saw, well, all three of us, saw the Hunger Games over the weekend. And we promised everybody on Facebook this morning a review. Let's start out.
Are you coming to the tree? Wear a necklace of hope. Side by side with me. Strange things have happened here. And midnight in the hanging tree. Are you coming to the tree?
I
told you to run so we will be free.
I have goosebumps. And we promise this will be a spoiler-free review. We'll do our best to keep it spoiler-free. I have goosebumps listening to that. Anybody that saw the movie over the weekend has goosebumps right now.
Come to the tree. Oh, my gosh. Chill.
Did you walk out of the theater singing that? It's like,
You know, that was such a cool, powerful scene when she was singing that song. And the whole premise of the movie, if you haven't read the book, you know, the whole premise is it's a revolution. And she's the leader of the revolution. She's the Mockingjay in the revolution. And it was just really powerful how that whole scene connected and how all the people want freedom. And to me, it's like this has been happening, not in this situation, obviously, but this has been going on for our entire history, our entire world history, as people wanting freedom and revolting because they, you know, having a revolution because they want freedom. And I just, to me, it was such a deep meaning. I'm not communicating that very well, but I just think I watching that made me think about our past as well. I'm probably putting too much into it.
No, I kind of think you're right, and the director did a tremendous job with the cast that was there. First of all, the cast is absolute. Donald Sutherland as the bad guy, oh my God! I mean, he is just a really good bad guy. you want to shoot him yourself. I mean, he's just a really good creepy bad guy.
That one thing that he ordered to happen, and when that thing happened, I was bawling in the theater. Chad, you know, of course, when something potentially sad happens, he just stares at me, and I was like, quit looking at me! And so I'm like, that's the part that you want to stick a knife through him. And, you know, Donald Sutherland played Keira Knightley's dad in Pride and Prejudice, and it's hard for me to hate him, but I hate him now. I used to love him, and now I hate him.
Yeah, the whole beard and all, just everything about that was so well done. You know, I will say, let me get the male chauvinist pig thing out of the way first. Jennifer Lawrence still looks good in the black outfit, by the way, just saying.
Oh, my God. Can I just tell you that my husband, this is like, you know, she puts this outfit on because she's going to start this revolution, and she's all this, like, insanely powerful woman. She shows her face, and it changes the world, you know. And my husband's like, she looks good in that black outfit. I'm like, seriously?
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is because of what everybody was wearing in the movie, and again, we're not going to, this aren't spoilers, you saw the trailers, because of what everybody's wearing in the movie, they're kind of drab and they all look alike, so when she puts on the outfit, she really does stand out. So what'd you think? Now, this is part, there are three books to fill everybody in. The first two movies dealt with the first two books. There are two movies now that deal with the third book. And, you know, Harry Potter was known for doing that. And it's really a way to rake in another $1 billion. And, oh, by the way, we weren't the only ones seeing the movie this weekend. It took in $123 million. That's here, $275 million globally.
Wow.
To make it the largest movie of the year. Now, it was down a little bit from the previous two Hunger Games movies, but still they're not crying. It was $140 million to produce, which means they're in profit after the first 3 days. So they're going to do just fine on this movie. What did you think? You read the books, right? We both read the books.
I read the books, and I am sorry. I like the movies better than the books. I really do. I feel like in the books, a lot of the time, most of the book is spent in her head asking questions. And is this happening? Is this happening? What does this mean? What does this mean? In the movie, you can't do that. And it just kind of shows the scene. And that's the only thing I didn't like about the book was it was too many questions and not just like, what's going on?
They spend a lot more time on the love angle in the books, too, than they do in the movies because they just don't have time. And really, you know, the whole love angle, you get, I mean, they do it enough in the movies that you get it, but and that's all you really need.
I remember when I was reading the first book, my brother, who has read all of them, too, was like, are you team PETA or are you team Gale?
Yeah.
And I was like, is anybody team PETA? The guy's like a little baker's son, wussy, you know, and Gale is Thor's brother, for God's sake. Like, how could you not pick him? So obviously the book spent a lot more time on the romance, but I like the movies better. And I know that's probably sacrilege to say.
Well, and I think partly because of the casting. The casting just nails it in this one. There's really no weak character in the cast. And, you know, a lot of movies, you'll have some weak characters that really take the whole movie down. That Jennifer Lawrence, there's a reason she's the highest paid actress around right now, because she's really good. She is really good. Ugh. She comes across as so like she's not acting. You know what I mean? You watch her, and, you know, when you see her in interviews, too, by the way, that song that we just played called the Mockingjay song, she said, I watched an interview, and she said that she hates to sing. She actually despises singing. She swore she would never do it in a movie, and she saw it was in the script for this one, and she said she did not sleep the night before. She said that she was a nervous wreck. It was the only time she was nervous on set. She said they kept having to come over and tell her it was going to be okay. She said she was crying the morning of the filming. She did not want to do it at all. And she's not a terrific singer, but it's because she's not a good singer that that really worked, that that song just works. Because it's a little off-key and off-pitch, but it would be. I mean, she's not an entertainer. She's a soldier. So it just worked. That the fact that if it was Lord in there singing, it's like, you know, it wouldn't have worked.
But absolutely.
Do you agree with that? Yeah. I
agree. I thought, you know, back to the cast, Julianne Moore was amazing. Philip Seymour Hoffman, God rest his soul. I'm so sad that he's not going to.
I don't know how they're going to write him out either. Because he was in the book. Yeah, he's in the whole book.
But he didn't film any of the next one, did he?
No, so they're going to have to write him out somehow.
Because obviously you guys know he took, I think he had an overdose, right? Unfortunately, and in the life of just such an amazing actor, and he just was so great in it. Oh my gosh, he's so good. And then Josh Hutcherson as PETA, just, oh gosh, you hate him, and then you hate him more, and you love him, and just all the things that go along with it. But every time Gail walked on screen, Liam Hemsworth, and Chad's like, here comes Thor. And I'm like, it's Thor Light. It's not Thor. It's
Thor
Thor's
Light.
Brother.
He's good, though.
Woody Harrelson was funny.
He doesn't have much of a part in this movie. Woody's kind of, you know, as the books went on, Woody was less and less a part. But he's still good. I mean, I think it's one of his best performances, actually. You know, some of the movies have been in have been real stinkers. But now, let's carefully talk about this, the end. Let's carefully talk about this because we've got to keep it not spoiler. So I'm going to say it in such a way that only people who saw the movie will know. I thought that I didn't like the end. I didn't like where they ended it. I thought they should have ended it 5 minutes before the end when the screen went black. And you know what I'm talking about. That's where I thought they should have ended the show. I thought the part after that was a waste.
Well, it sets up for the rest of the story. Yeah. It's like they're filming the third book. They did the third book, but they did the first half. And it's like they did 100% of the first half and 5%. It's like they got like just they did like 5 pages too many. But yeah, I mean, I guess it's so we see where the next one's going to go because you know,
yeah, but
honestly,
they could have done that at the beginning of the next one. Wouldn't that have been the perfect place to stop it, though, right there? It would have been great.
I thought exactly, but I
Hey, we agree on a movie, Jamie.
I know, I'm so pleased. You're absolutely right. They went 5 minutes too long, but I really think, oh my gosh, like, I'm not a huge fan of where the book ends up. And this whole next half, so I'm curious to see how I'll like it in the movie. Let me just put it that way.
Now, out of 6 flakes in a bale, what do you give it?
There were some really powerful scenes, and there were some really amazing scenes, and there was a lot of planes landing and taking off. There was a lot of that.
Yeah,
you think?
There was a lot of that. By the way, why can't we have that plane? Did you ask Chad why we don't have that plane yet, by the way?
You know what? What's funny is, you know, when they're flying and they're flying at night and they kick on all of their night vision stuff. This is my husband. He never goes, I'd have had my night vision stuff on when I took off. Okay.
That's what I said. I said the same thing. I was like, why didn't they have that on while they were flying through the trees?
Like, turn it on. He's like, why didn't they do that earlier? Like, I would have had that on already.
I don't know why we can't put big fans and wings of planes and have them fly like that.
Yeah. So how many flakes did you give it?
I give it 5 out of 6 flakes, and the only reason was this was, and the biggest complaint critics have about this movie is that it's a filler movie. It's really they did it as a way to make money. It's a money grab, and I don't blame them. They're going to make $1 billion. And the third book was important to get all the things that were in this movie in to set up the end. So it was important to do all of those things. The only other way they could have done it is have a 3-hour movie, you know, and end it with a 3-hour movie. But I kind of, you know, I don't mind spending another $20 to go see a 4-hour version of the last book because the last book was so detailed and good. So I give it 5 flakes only because I thought they screwed up the ending. They should have ended it when the screen went blank. That's the reason that I give it 5.
I think I would have been mad if it ended right then, because I would have been like, damn, I got to go read the book again and remember what happened. So I give it 5.5 only because it's not 6 just because there were so many takeoff and landings in the frickin' planes. But it was super powerful, I thought. And I'm glad they split it up because that would have been just too much and too long. It would have been a 4-hour movie, and I didn't want them to cut any of the details out of the next part because I feel like the next part of the movie, the next half of the book, I had a really hard time visualizing. So I hope that they get a little more detailed in it, and I'm glad they put it up. So I'm doing 5.5 out of 6. Just, I mean, simply in the cast alone was that good.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I thought it was a movie well worth seeing. Just don't go in expecting this one to be battle scene after battle scene. That's not what the next one will be.
It's more like... It's they're rallying the people,
troops.
You know.
Yeah,
and
rallying the troops.
Rallying the troops, and they're the troops. Those were some of the best scenes, and the little three fingers they hold up every once in a while, just juicy.
Who's the girl that with the shaved head has a tattoo on her head? What's her name? Can't remember her actor's name. She played Anne Boleyn in the TV series.
Her name is Jenna Malone, and the character is the Joanna Mason character.
I like her, anything she is in. She just is convincing. I do like her. I watched the series The Tudors about King Henry VIII, and she was Anne Boleyn, and boy, she just was incredible in that. She's good. I was glad she was in there.
She is.
All right,
she's...
let's hear from Omega Alpha Equine, Dr. Chang, and the entire staff of Omega Alpha Equine, wish everyone in the United States a very happy Thanksgiving. The same care and effort that you take making that Thanksgiving meal every year is the same kind of care and effort that Omega Alpha Equine takes in putting together all natural supplements for enhancing equine health and performance. For all natural products that support the digestive tract, the immune system, the joints and muscles, and so much more, you can count on Omega Alpha Equine to look after the horses in your family, not just like you do at Thanksgiving, but they do it every day of the year. You can visit Omega Alpha Equine at OmegaAlphaEquine.com or find them on Facebook under Omega Alpha Equine. You know, we're coming into wintertime, so there's a lot of things you have to take into consideration with your horse's health. Now is the time to do it, and you'll find the answers at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, now there's an interview coming up that Jamie's been waiting for a long time. Tell us about it, Jamie.
I'm so excited. We get to talk to, you know, we always ask questions about naming your thoroughbred. So we've got Rick Bailey, the registrar for the Jockey Club, on, who's going to answer some of our questions. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Jamie. How are you this morning?
Fantastic. Thank you so very much. I am the owner of many a thoroughbred throughout the times, and I've had some with really good names, and God, I've had some horses with really bad names. I mean, really bad. When you see some of these names come across your desk, are you like, really? Seriously? You want to name your horse that?
Yeah, I have to admit, every now and then we shake our heads quite a bit and wondering, what were these people thinking?
Now, what are the rules for creating a name for racehorses? Because I know a lot of – I helped a friend name her horse, and there was a lot of them – she had to do it twice. She kept getting they kept telling her, you kept telling her no. So what are the rules for creating a name?
Well, there's some that are real basic. 18 characters or spaces is the maximum amount. As you might imagine, that keeps something from being too terribly long in the stretch run to where, you know, the track announcer stuck with just one horse to call throughout the entire stretch. So we limited to 18 characters. And then
Was that the reason it was done that way in the very beginning, or was there another reason?
No, I think that's the case. I believe it's, you know, it was limited for not only for the track announcer, but for as well for, you know, printing names in a program. You know, there's only so much room. So just some kind of logistics to it. And then the most common thing that gets you, if your friend's name was unavailable, it's most likely one of two things. It's either that the name was a direct match, exact spelling with an existing name that's already in use. Or the other thing that's fairly common is a name selection that's similar in pronunciation or spelling to a name that's already in use. And that's just we want to avoid confusion, in particular to the betting public, so that, there's not two horses with very similar sounding names that are racing at the same time.
That makes sense, because the name that I picked, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so clever. The horse was, the stallion was a horse named Honor Roll, R-O-L-E, and then the mom's name was something Rock. So I named him Rock and Roll, R-O-L-E. And I was like, the spelling's different. There's no horse named Rockin', R-O-L-E, Rock and Roll. And then it got denied, and I was like, damn it, that was going to be the best racehorse name ever, Rock and Roll. And I guess probably somebody else. It was a while ago, anyway. So I can, now that we've discussed this, I can stop being mad at you. So I'm
okay,
glad.
Good.
I'm glad we've come to this understanding. Now, sometimes the names that are used eventually come available again. So how long do you have to wait for the name to become available? Does the horse have to be dead a certain amount of years? I mean, how does that work?
It's actually, it depends upon the horse. There are certain names that become what are regarded as historically significant, Kentucky Derby winners.
So no more secretariats.
No more secretariats, no more man of wars. Those sorts of names to get permanently protected. But on average, generally speaking, it's once the horse reaches the age of 11, once the active horse reaches the age of 11, and we see 5 years of inactivity, and that inactivity we mean either breeding or racing. So if we get 5 years of no produce records, no race results, then that name will free up and become available again for use. And we capture those once a year. We capture those names, and we post them out to our website under the title of recently released names. And breeders and owners across the country enjoy the use of that tool to come up with, if you're having trouble coming up with something, if you're not quite clever enough to come up with Rock and Roll like Jamie was, then, you can go to that website and check on the recently released list and come up with something that in all likelihood is now available again.
Yeah, okay. So they do cycle back through again. When you have a – I remember – well, let me just go with the ones I have now. I have a couple horses with really, really bad jockey club names. Can you change those names with the registry, or you have to suck it up?
You may. The key to it is once the horse has raced, once the horse has a start or is active breeding-wise, which, normally the racing comes first. So, but once the horse starts under that name, then the name cannot be changed. But certainly up until the time that the horse has started, if you're a buyer at a sale or a buyer of a horse privately, as long as that thoroughbred has not yet started, you can change the name.
So people that buy horses at like the yearling sales in Keeneland, and they get this horse and they're like, this name sucks, they can, I guess, pay to change it?
Right. There's a fee, and then we get the actual jockey club certificate of full registration, or what's commonly called the papers. We get those back in the mail, and we'll actually make the change directly on the certificate of full registration.
Okay, gotcha. See, that makes sense how some of these people that have these horses, they buy them at these two-year-old in training sales, and then they have them their last name. So I'm always curious about that, that I can have that. Now, you said you've seen some names come across your desk that you sat back and were like, what were they thinking? Come on, give us some examples. Is there any way you can tell us?
Most of those would be names that we would reject, you know, something that's kind of crosses the borderline between obscene or indecent. And those names we would reject. I've seen a lot of good names.
Before we get off of those names, Rick, I have a question. Do you guys, like, have a board up on the wall someplace hidden in one of the bathrooms with all of the really bad rejected names that cross the line just for fun?
What we actually do in order to try to be as consistent as possible, and as you might imagine in this realm of the naming rules, it's you know, we try to be as consistent as possible, but some of it's, you know, simply in the eye of the folks here that look at the list each day. But we do, if there's a name that's deemed to be you know, across the line, something that's indecent or something that's offensive, then such names, we actually flag those in our computer system so that that the name is permanently unavailable, so that we don't make the mistake of rejecting something that's along those lines, but yet later, you know, a year from now, maybe somebody feels differently about it, or maybe the term, you know, sometimes the English language tends to vary over the course of years. You know, names that, 15 years ago we might have thought was fine, that, you know, these days might have a
different
meaning. Pop culture meaning. Yeah, something will pop up in pop culture that'll cause us to say, whoa, we better be on the lookout for this one, and we can go ahead and flag those as.
You know what I have this picture of, Rick? I have this picture of Scrooge, you know, in the Christmas movie. Scrooge and all his little accountants are sitting in there, and they're at these little desks, and there's a guy in there with a great big stamp that says reject. And he's in there, and the name comes across, and he just goes, pow, reject. That's what I have this picture of, you guys.
Well, we do a little bit of rejecting, but we're actually, over time, and I think the modern-day tools have been part of this, is if you look back at the names that were submitted, we looked at about 40,000 names last year.
Ooh.
and 71% of the names that were submitted were granted. So, and it's changed over time. It used to be much closer to the 50% mark, but as modern day tools, we have an online names book that people can check and find out immediately if a name is definitely not available as being a direct match. And then there's a, you know, apps for a tablet or a phone. We even have one that you can shake your phone and it'll suggest a name for you, and it's based upon filters that you provide. So we do certainly reject a few, but for the most part it's those names that are direct spelling with an active name, or names that are similar in spelling, and then you get around the 1% mark where you come up with any of those sorts of things that are unavailable because they're maybe commercially significant. Maybe it's the name of a current movie or a hit song or something like that, or those sorts of things. But for the most part, we try to approve them for the owners and breeders so that they, you know, hopefully they get their first name choice. And like I said, you know, 71% or at least in 2013, 71% of the names were granted.
Now, I know that we've had, and we've kind of made fun of the horse named Hoof Hearted. And when names like that get through, because if you say that really, you know, faster, it sounds like who farted. So when names like that get through, do you get in trouble, or do people kind of laugh about it?
Well, it's, you know, something like that's innocent enough. We do try to we print the names that are accepted each day, sometimes a couple of times a day, depending on the season and how busy we are. But we'll print the list and pass it around for two or three other people to look at and kind of give their opinion on something and try to catch such names. And then I always try to look at the list each afternoon as well and try to be diligent about pronouncing each and every one of them out loud and kind of to yourself and think about what it would sound like over a PA system. But again, you know, something we do on the scale of 40, 45,000 a year, you know, we're gonna make a mistake or two along the way, no doubt.
Well, it could be worse, you know. But I like that one, and there's another one that got through. I can't think of it right now, but there's some really, really good ones. But
well,
they're funny too, and as long as they're not inappropriate, I would imagine you don't get in too much trouble.
Yeah, we just, you know, again, we're trying to kind of look out for the betting public and the guy that
right.
takes his, you know, 9-year-old daughter to the racetrack for the first time. You just, you know, you don't want to do anything that's embarrassing to the industry.
Well, Larry Thomas thanks you for two names that made his career. And everybody who listens to the show regularly knows what we're talking about. So he thanks you.
My wife knows everything.
That's right.
Right. And of course, what was it? My wife knows everything was the winner, right? In the famous stretch
that's
call.
Right. That's right. Yeah, we had Larry on right after that. And, his career was made very famous by that race.
That was a great call.
Names are important, is what I'm trying to say. These names are important because you're right. The way the announcer says it coming down the backstretch is really what makes those videos can go hugely viral to non-horse people. So
exactly.
Names are important. Yeah.
Yeah, let me give you a couple of my favorites if you got time.
Yeah, sure.
I was going to ask you that. That was my next question.
All right. I like I've written down a couple here that we've used over time. One is how about That's All Folks by Comic Strip.
Ah, that's awesome. That's All Folks.
That's
Smoke
All
Signals. We got Smoke Signals by Unspoken or Out of a Mare named Unspoken Word.
Nice.
Friendly Reminder. We got Friendly Reminder out of Note to Self. How about A Little Off the Top by Skimming?
That's
and then I like the names where they use both sides of the pedigree. For example, we've got Booze Talking by Whiskey Wisdom out of Frankly Speaking. And then we had Crop Circle out of a mare named Lost in the Weeds by Perfect Circle.
Nice.
And then a couple that tie to perhaps the television episode of Seinfeld. We have Urban Sombrero by Hat Trick. And then from the great, you'll remember the great movie Caddyshack with one of the characters was Judge Smells.
Best movie ever.
Judge Smells was one of the was a pretty good racehorse and retired to stud and has a decent number of foals on the ground. And one of his foals was named Odor in the Court. I thought that was clever.
Oh. Now you mentioned Seinfeld. Wasn't there a horse called No Soup for You?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a bunch of Seinfeld references. Summer of George, I believe, was one of them. Having trouble recalling the others, but there was, George Likes Chicken. There's been a bunch of good Seinfeld names, and I kind of enjoy when you're reading along, and each afternoon we're looking at the list, and it's good to see names like that remind you of Caddyshack or Seinfeld or other pop culture kind of things.
Now, something you said, you're not allowed to use a name directly, right? But you can use references to the show or the movie or whatever. But you can't use the name directly of the movie.
Yeah,
if you're looking for
commercial, a name that has commercial significance. So the title, the title of a product is probably the easiest example. If you want to name your foal Pepsi Cola, that's going to be a name that's not available.
Now, what happens if it's the owner of the product? In other words, if the guy who owns the horse also owns the company.
We don't have a provision that allows the naming applicant to get permission from the company. It's just kind of a tradition, I guess, in the United States that that names are not used as a shill or marketing for a particular product.
Well, I just want to throw it out there right now. I think Jamie's on board with this. Anybody that wants to name their winning racehorse Horses in the Morning, be our guest. We'll be there rooting you on.
There you go.
Haven't had that happen
and we're
yet,
not commercially but... significant, Glenn, so it's okay.
No, yeah, we're not commercially significant. You don't have to worry about that. I give you permission, Rick, to approve it. But it has to be a winner. We don't want any losers, okay?
Yeah, we got to have a really good pedigree for that one, right?
That's right. All right. It's just crap. I don't want you approving it. All right, call me first.
We'll be on the lookout.
Rick, when you've seen names come across your desk, like a name like California Chrome, and then you see him running, do you remember approving that specific name or a kind of a more famous name? I don't know. I'm sure you weren't there when Seattle Slough was there, but certain names you approved, do you remember going, oh, my God, I remember approving that, and now they're winning the Breeders' Cup?
Honestly, for the most part, Jamie, it's difficult. Every now and then I'll have that sensation, especially if it's a name that came through and you thought at the time, boy, that's a really good fit with the pedigree. Those sorts of names, at least the way my mind works, occasionally some of those will go in the memory bank. But, for the most part, again, we're looking at 40,000 name selections a year. So it's really a process and to remember them you know, when they were, you know, oftentimes they're named, you know, a year in advance before they ever make it to the racetrack. So occasionally, but not all that often.
That's interesting. I think your job is really cool, and thank you so much for being on with us and joining us and tolerating my kind of ridiculous questions. We appreciate it.
No problem at all.
Thank
all
you,
right,
Rick.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Bailey, registrar for the Jockey Club, and naming your thoroughbred is what he knows about. So if you guys have questions or you want to go look at names, just go to the Jockey Club website, jockeyclub.com.
Very good. You know, I just figured it out. If they do 40,000 a year, they do 110 names a day. That includes
weekends.
So that's a lot. That's a lot of names.
And it's probably all at one time of the year, and that's what I didn't get to ask him was what time, you know, some people name their horses every spring, or is it like an influx, like tax season? Do they have to have a name? I'm just curious.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a break for our song for the day. And Jamie is mean and cruel, and not only do people not get her jokes, but she's mean on the show to me, because she doesn't let me play any holiday music before Thanksgiving. So I found a song that's kind of a transition for us.
You know, I actually disagree. I saw this and I was like, I told him no Christmas music until after Thanksgiving.
This one you can play any time of the year, this one. You can play Hallelujah any time of the year. I have played this before in the middle of summer. So this is kind of a transition song. It's not really holiday, but it kind of gets you in the mood. I think I'm okay on this one. But first, we're going to hear from our good friends at EasySignsOnline.com. You need that perfect custom holiday gift? Get it today.
With Christmas season fast approaching, it's time to start planning a custom gift that will last for many years to come. Visit our friends at EasySignsOnline.com and browse their unique website for their many custom sign options and styles.
With affordable prices for customized signs starting at $39.95, your holiday gift-giving just got easier. Their step-by-step online sign ordering process allows you to choose only the sign options you want and see all the pricing up front. From horse farm entrance signs, vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs to stall nameplates, and much, much more for every horse owner. Place your order early to allow plenty of time for Christmas delivery. Check out the website today at EasySignsOnline.com. That's EasySignsOnline.com or call them at 1-800-640-8180. That's 1-800-640-8180.
Thank you.
That was Hallelujah by Tiffany De Rosé. You can find all of her music at tiffanyderosé.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn DeGeek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. We are brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Well, we have to do a preview of this week because it's an odd week for us. We do have Thanksgiving here in the United States on Thursday. Tomorrow we'll have the safety episode with Lindsay from Riders for Helmets. Wednesday, we have the Kim Baker episode, and she is doing a reading of one of our listeners' horses here on Wednesday. And then Thursday, we are off for Thanksgiving. And Friday, we are replaying for you the Equestrian Collections Holiday Buying Guide. So that is what's going on for the week. Next week, we'll be back to normal. I do have a special programming note that's really, really cool. We are recording today the driving radio show. David Saunders fills in for Wendy once a month, and he will be recording. Of course, David was the coachman to the Queen for 20 years. And he is going to be announcing something that, well, let's say he got a really cool gig, and he's going to be announcing it today on the show. He's already posted some teasers about it. But you're going to want to watch, you're going to want to listen to the show because it's really cool, but you're also going to want to watch the trailer for the new Cinderella movie that Disney's putting out because it revolves around that. So have you seen the trailer yet, Jamie?
No, I have not.
You got to see the trailer. It looks like it's going to be a good movie, but it all ties into that, what David Saunders has to announce today on the Driving Radio Show.
Is he Prince Charming?
No, he's not Prince Charming. Sorry.
Whatever.
I think somebody else got that role.
Second pick.
He's close to Prince Charming.
Very, very close. That's cool.
So that's all coming up. We're very excited about this, and he's very excited about it. All of us that are Disney fans are very excited about this. So Driving Radio Show is where you'll find the answers that will come out today or tomorrow.
Another cool programming note, and I would just like to invite all of our listeners to join me at the Downtown Phoenix Theater, where we will be watching Yo Gabba Gabba live tomorrow at 3 p.m. You're all welcome to go. Tickets are available on Groupon, so you know it's going to be good. Woo!
They actually have the tickets on Groupon for half off. That's bad.
Yeah. Of course, I bought it when it was not half off. So, yay me. I got to pay the whole thing. And they don't allow children under two free. You buy a ticket for every human that walks
really?
In that store. Oh, yeah. Well, it's for kids. Like, half their audience would be free. So, yeah, tomorrow at 3 p.m., you just know that when you Google Yo Gabba Gabba, if you don't know what it is, I'm going to see this live. There's plenty of...
I just did, because I had no idea what you're talking about. You know, never having had kids and not up to date on what kids are watching today, I Googled it because I thought maybe that would, you know, remind me of something. I have no idea, but these are really freaky little characters, let me tell you.
Yeah, there's a couple of them. We're like, I hate that one. We hate the pink one.
It kind of looks like It kind of looks like a conglomeration of five different things all got together, and they shook it up, and this is what came out. You know,
That's a good way to say it. So basically, I'm not going to give you the whole we are going to get to sing songs tomorrow, Glenn, like Party in My Tummy. And Get the Sillies Out. I like to dance. Like, these are really, really, these are probably going to win Grammys this year. So just know that I actually made my fiber pilot husband take the day off, take the afternoon off, because he was like, you guys will really enjoy that. Oh, hell yes. I'm not doing this by myself. He was like, you guys will really enjoy it. And I was like, over my dead body, if you think I'm going to this thing by myself with that child, you are going with it. You're going to hold him. You're going to sing along to Get the Sillies Out and Wiggle, Wiggle, Wiggle. That's another song. Wiggle, 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 Go. Party. There's a party in my tummy. So yummy. Like, I know these songs already. So it's like going to be seeing a concert. I mean, it just doesn't get better than that.
Whatever happened to the days of the Roadrunner where we were blowing stuff up and, you know, when cartoons were cool?
Yeah, I'm with you. We make him watch Looney Tunes, but you don't realize until you have a child how incredibly violent it is.
Oh, yeah, that's what made him fun. I mean, it's just like...
I put on Tom and Jerry, and I'm like, all these things do the entire time is try to kill each other and injure each other, and you don't realize it until you actually see it.
That is true. And you know, even Tweety Bird, he was always trying to eat the bird. I mean, right? I mean, that's the idea, is trying to eat the bird. And I bet you there's none of that with Yo Gabba Gabba, looking at the picture here on the website.
No, there's probably none of that. No, one of the songs, Glenn, is Don't Hit Your Friends. Don't hit your friends. So there you go.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
That's right. It is time, that time of the week for Horse Nation, when we get Leslie Wiley on here to talk about some of the stuff they've been doing over there. But first, Leslie, look what you have to look forward to when you have kids. Yo Gabba Gabba concert. Yummy in my tummy.
Hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I misspoke. It's not don't hit your friends. It's don't bite your friends. I just totally
it's okay to hit them. Just not bite them.
Yeah, don't bite them.
Good advice.
Yeah.
I remember, I got to tell the story now that you brought that up. We had a friend down the street that there was a kid when we were kids. We were little, maybe 4 or 5 years old. And, you know, that's the days when you could run around by yourself in town and nobody cared when you were four. And we used to play in the block, and the kid down the street had this habit of biting other kids. Well, one day, you're going to love this, one day he bit my little brother and left a mark. Well, my mom saw it, so she bit him back and sent him home.
Wow. Nice.
You don't see that too much anymore either. Is there anything in the song about your mom biting other kids? Is there anything in the song about that?
You know, my mom bit my brother, too, to get him to stop biting. But I was just looking around here at the Yo Gabba Gabba songs, and they might be onto something. Like, watching, like, comparing these to horses, there's a song called I Like to Dance. So that's like, I like dressage. There's a song called Don't Be Afraid. There's, I mean, come on, Don't Be Afraid, Don't Spook. There's a song called I'm So Sorry I Bucked You Off. There's a song called Hold Still. Could be Hold Still While You're Mounting. I mean, come on. Don't Bite Your Friends. That's a horse song right there. Genius. Finding the tie-in between Yo Gabba Gabba and horses. It's a song called Clean It Up. Clean It Up. It's a mess. Clean it up.
Hey, Leslie, before we let you get into your stuff, I have another question for you. So are you a horses on Thanksgiving girl, or you don't get to because you have to go away?
I love to go out. It seems like there's always something special about going to see your horse on holidays, like Christmas. I always try to make it out. And I think it's just I have such great memories of, like, going to opening hunt on Thanksgiving, and like that was something that, you know, my whole family did. My sisters and I rode, and there's a big hunt breakfast on Thanksgiving growing up, and then I like also you know, when I was a kid, it just seemed like we'd get like open our presents, and like, of course it was like all stuff for our horse, you know, and then we'd like, you know, go spend the afternoon at the barn, you know, trying it out. So, yeah, just good memories. So I always try, and even if I don't have time to ride, get out there and spend a little holiday with my horse.
And a lot of people don't realize that hunting is a big thing on Thanksgiving. When Jennifer worked up at Myopia in Massachusetts, the biggest hunt of the year was Thanksgiving Day, and there were thousands of people that used to come out to watch. It was a tradition up there, still is, that spectators come out, and you knew the spots you could go where you could see the horses come through and could see them for a while, mm-hmm. and, you know, like on a high on a hill or something, and there would be traffic jams of cars coming out to watch the hunt, and that was the only day of the year that anybody cared, you know, but it was Thanksgiving Day. It was a tradition. I don't know if it was that way where you were, but...
Yeah, they'd have, like, tally-ho wagons, you know, going around trying to, you know, and occasionally they'd actually see a fox, and, there's always, like, a big breakfast, and they'd have a bagpipe player, and everyone was all just, like, bundled up, and I don't know. I love it.
Where hunt was that? Where were you at?
Tennessee Valley Hunt.
Tennessee Valley Hunt.
Yeah. They don't do... opening hunt on Thanksgiving Day anymore. It seemed like people just increasingly were having, you know, couldn't make it out because of family conflicts. What are your priorities, people?
Yeah, anyway.
But they sort of moved it up a week. But yeah.
Cool.
Always,
very good.
Always have great memories of that.
Well, happy Thanksgiving early to you. We hope you and your family have a great time. And thank you so much, by the way. This is a good. While we're in the thanking mood, we need to thank you for coming out here every week and hanging out with us for 15, 20 minutes to talk silly horse stuff. We really do appreciate it. I've had the opportunity to speak to many of our listeners and kind of do a little sessions with them to try and out what they like and don't like. And I haven't had anybody... I've had a lot of people say they look forward to Mondays because Leslie's going to be on and they love Leslie. I haven't anybody say they don't like me. Now, we get that for Jamie and I, but never you.
Hey.
They like you, they hate us. But we appreciate you being here every week. We know you don't have to do this, and we certainly don't pay you, so thank you for coming here.
Well, thanks for putting up with me. We always have fun. You just never know what's going to come out of our mouths when the three of us are on the line together.
No, you didn't know you were going to start your conversation when you woke up this morning with Yo Gabba Gabba. You didn't know that.
I did not.
We wish you had. So now let's go to horse haikus. You're back in haikus again.
Oh, man. This is one of our earliest series, Horse Nation series. It was readers would send us their haikus, and we would post them, and I don't know, it was just one of those series that, like, over time it kind of, like, faded out, but we occasionally get requests to bring it back from time to time, and so I was like, you know what, I think we're gonna re-up this thing, and just got the ball rolling, sent out a call for readers to send in their haikus, and now I have a whole inbox.
Well, I gotta ask you, what exactly is a haiku? I know I'm like illiterate, so kind of explain to me what a haiku is.
So I think it's like a 3-line poem. There's 5 syllables in the first line, 7 in the second, and 5 in the third. And I think it's like a sort of like a traditional Japanese roots. So they're just short and sweet, and just somehow they're just always hilarious. I don't know what it is.
Give us a couple of examples here.
Okay, so we sort of kick things off with a manure themed haiku day, and here's a Leslie Wiley original. Big horse show today, rolled in some lucky green poop. Why is mom crying? here's another one from another manure themed one from Liz Fletcher. There's a certain smell when you walk in a barn. It is manure.
I like that one.
Short and sweet.
Yeah. So we've got these things. I'm posting them every morning during the week, and judging from the amount of haikus I have in my inbox, the series is now going to last forever. So lots of poets in our readership, apparently. So.
I don't think haikus were supposed to be funny. I think if you just twist them like this, they can be funny.
So true.
Well, that's cool. I you're right. Most haikus, when they first came out, I didn't understand them. I was like, okay, I just don't get this. But then when they started getting funny, then I got them. See, I think that. Well, now, you did a highlight on a racehorse that I don't think I'd ever heard of.
Yeah, I'd never heard of this either. So Kristen Kovach, she wrote this story about a horse that was said to be one of the greatest racehorses of the 18th century. He was sired by Eclipse, you know, the great Eclipse. He won 34 races at distances of over 4 miles, which is crazy.
That's a
raced
long race.
For 7 years. You know, was one of these sort of foundation stallions that, you know, you look back, way back in horses' lineage, race horses' pedigrees, and you might find this horse. But the funny thing about him is his name. His name was Potatoes.
I like Potatoes.
It's like the least elegant racehorse name I think I've ever heard. So Potatoes. But also he went, ran under the name, Poto. I think there's 8 O's.
Yeah, it's basically pot, the word pot, and then 8 O's.
Oh.
So that makes potato. So that's what the
Larry Thomas would have had a fun with that name. He had fun with that name coming down the stretch.
Yeah, but it's so funny. And we posted this and had a reader on Facebook post a picture of her horse, and she was like, yes, this horse is like, my horse is, I don't know, you know, great, 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 you know, whatever, grandson of this horse. She actually found the horse in her pedigree and was glad to now know the story.
Now, interestingly enough, as I'm looking at the pedigrees, you know, she's got, like, Potatoes is way far back in her pedigree. And then you guys have Potato's pedigree. And this is so old that the great-great-grandfather of Potato's is the Godolphin Arabian. That is how freaking far back.
1724.
Isn't that crazy? The Godolphin.
I've never seen that. Were a country.
Yeah. And if you look at the pedigree of the Godolphin Arabian, they're blank.
There isn't one. There was no written record.
No, it's crazy. Yeah. The Jarley Arabian's in there. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. Nuts.
Yeah, wow. That's crazy.
Huh.
But that goes to show, too, how far back it was that the Arabians were in the bloodline.
And how long they've been keeping track of bloodline, too. I mean, just to show you.
Oh, I love this name. Here's a horse on that pedigree. Sister to Old Country Wench. There's a great name.
Oh, my goodness. That is so funny.
Sister to Old Country Wench. I wonder if that one's available again. We'll have to check that out.
Fun with horse names.
Wow. There's some funny ones. There's funny old names in here.
One of Potato's daughters was named Potato Mare. Real creative.
Wow.
Anyway, this is fun. This is really good. You should go read it. Now, I've got a question. I'm looking at horsenation.com, and recently posted is vote for the winner of World Equestrian Brands No Stirrup November contest. And there's somebody in here that hung stirrups up on a cactus named Jamie Teal, and that is incorrect. That is Jamie Jennings.
That's me. I
hung my stirrups up on a cactus.
I was wondering. I was like, I saw that picture, and then I was like, oh, it must be another Jamie.
No, that's me. So you can put Jamie Jennings.
We will.
And there's nowhere to vote. There's nowhere to click.
Oh, and it's different in the vote. Okay, I have to fix this thing up.
Okay, and then I need everybody to go on and vote for me because I had to ride my horse without my stirrups over to that cactus to hang it up because it's like 8 feet tall and you guys know I'm 5 feet, so like.
And you know what? One of our listeners, Gemma, is beating you. Now has more votes. One of our listeners is kicking your butt.
She's the one with the bunny.
Her photo is so funny. It's so cute.
Yeah. She's probably going to win. That's really
good. She has this, like, Gandalf, like, grumpy, like, thou shalt not pass. She has the stirrup in the back of her bunny cage, and the bunny is just looking like, don't put your hand in there.
Now,
I'll hurt you.
Is it different on the link on Horse Nation? Because there's nowhere to vote on there.
Oh, there's nowhere to vote?
Yeah, right in the middle of the page, Jennifer. Or
yeah.
Jamie, right after the opening paragraph at the top, there's a little chart. And
you've got your Jamie Steele in there.
Yeah, it says Jamie Steele in there. Which was her old radio name in Atlanta, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was Jamie Steele. I was on the sports talk station. Yeah. I don't see anywhere to vote.
Do you see the poll in there?
No, I don't see it.
Like
how
right
can I vote for myself?
At the top.
I know.
It's not there, Glenn. I'm telling
you. It's broke for you. Hit refresh. See if it shows up.
Whatever. Y'all carry on. I'm going to keep trying to
look into this.
It's not there.
Speaking of naming things, by the way, if you want to vote for Jamie, you can just head on over to thehorsenation.com and you'll see the big stirrups article is the one you want. Or you can vote for Gemma and then she can beat Jamie and then have bragging rights.
No, vote for me. I want those stirrups. They're so pretty.
They're so pretty, aren't they?
They are pretty. Colorful. Well, speaking of naming things, The Onion. Everybody probably has heard of The Onion. It's America's finest news source. Because that none of what they report is actually true. They make up stories and they post it there and then people think it's true and then they post it on Facebook and it goes viral and half the world thinks that that the world is coming to an end because onions are taking over. So, you know, I didn't realize they've had this many horse articles fake horse articles that they've written.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of went just sort of did a search on the Onion in the Onion archives for for the word horse or equestrian, and all of these stories popped up, a few that were not appropriate to post on Horse Nation. Horse Nation is a family website. But, but yeah, all these fake horse stories that are, like, some of which are just hilarious. like Horse Connect, the social network for horses, bought for $1 billion. Social network for horses.
We covered this one. Do you remember this one? We covered this one way, way back. This is years ago, Jamie. Shocking report says even the smallest horse bite can be harmful to newborn babies. Do you remember we covered that? Because it came out. Everybody thought it was true. And we were like, how ridiculous is that? Of course they are.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Let's click on the thing.
That's oddly enough happened a lot with Onion stuff. I remember when an article came out on the Onion when Harry Potter first started, and it was Harry Potter's teaching kids to worship the devil, and it was an Onion article. And people started freaking out. It was like, my kids aren't going to watch that devil-worshipping movie.
Yeah.
It's an Onion article.
I like this one. Conspiracy theorists insist Barbara is still alive, sort of like Elvis. You know, that's the Elvis sighting. And they have a picture and a field with a horse circle that you can see from like a mile away. First openly gay racehorse to compete Sunday. That one probably did make the rounds.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there were a couple of good ones in here. I like this one. There was one at the top here. Let's see. Equestrian instinctively feels deep, meaningless connection with horse. Makes you want to read it.
Right.
You guys are clever. I don't know where you get the ideas for this, but your mind must not stop. You have ADD like me. You must, because...
Oh, I totally do.
Yeah. There's no way you're not thinking about everything when you're doing everything. You're just, your mind is going one direction, your body's going another.
It's true. It's true. But I have a great job for that, because I just get to go explore the internet all day long and look for weird stuff.
You and Darley Newman probably have the two best jobs in the horse world, right?
I think we might, yeah.
Well, thank you, Leslie. We appreciate you being on. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and enjoy your week.
You guys, too. Happy Thanksgiving.
HappyThanksgiving.com. I still don't see where to vote. Maybe my computer's broken.
Yeah, I think you're not seeing it, because it is right under the stirrups at the top.
Yeah,
right,
it's
under
not showing up
there.
Online.
Yeah,
it's
you
not.
Might you have to use a different browser or something. I voted for you, though. I did vote for you.
Aw, thanks, so, thanks. That bunny one's pretty good. But.
I just want to leave everybody with something. You, because it is Thanksgiving, and, you know, food is a big part of Thanksgiving, but because you're a vegetarian, I respect that, so I won't talk about turkey and all that. But before we wrap up the show today, I found this on BuzzFeed, and you introduced us to this, and we had the first tasting of this on the show years ago, and that was Nutella. I had never eaten Nutella. I didn't know what Nutella was. And you had me go out and get some Nutella, and we did. We had a tasting on the show. I like Nutella. I think it's a wonderful product. And for those that don't know, it's this chocolate goopy product that's just really good. And there was an article on BuzzFeed today on the 19 glorious ways to eat Nutella for breakfast. So let me just give you a couple to take you off hungry today, because that's the way you should end the show that is on Thanksgiving week. How about mini ricotta donut holes stuffed with Nutella? How about Nutella cinnamon rolls? You take a normal cinnamon roll. By the way, I can't eat them anymore, but those cinnamon rolls you buy in the tube and you put in the and you cook them in the oven, and then you pour that white goop all over them, and then take Nutella and spread that on top. How about this? How about Nutella stuffed French toast?
Have you ever had a Nutella stuffed crepe? Oh,
no.
My God. Change your life. Change your life.
Homemade Pop-Tarts with Nutella and pumpkin.
Gross.
Now, this one I don't know. This whole chocolate bacon thing that's a big craze, I'm not too keen about. They actually have bacon coated in Nutella. How about Nutella swirled banana bread? I like banana bread. Swirl it with Nutella. That's going to make it really, really
How
good.
About you just make banana bread and take a big old spoonful of Nutella and smear it on there like butter and, okay, I'm hungry. I'm going to go.
I agree. And then it just goes on. How about Nutella stuffed waffles? Oh, man, I want my Nutella stuffed waffles. This is really making me hungry. Okay, now that I'm leaving everybody on that note, we'll be back tomorrow morning with the safety episode. And, of course, Wednesday we'll have Kim Baker here. So tune in. We got lots more for you. But you, I'm not going to talk to you till next week.
I know. I'll miss you guys. I'll talk to you again, I think, on Monday, correct?
Yes, that's right. We'll talk to you again on Monday. But in the meantime, you have a wonderful holiday. Enjoy your time off.
Thank you.
And, you know, get some riding in and all that stuff. I hope you go
Happy
out for another lesson. You know, just when you go for lessons, just keep your mouth shut and ride.
Yeah,
okay?
I know. I learned. I'm going back Friday, and I told her, I'm like, I'll just be quiet.
Yeah, you think you're better off. You know, some people just don't have much of a sense of humor. You know, just.
No, or they don't get mine.
They
one or the other.
All right, everybody, have a great day.
Faye Nuttergal, have a great day, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Spend some time with your horses and your family, or your family and your horses, whichever one comes first, you know. Family
comes first.
Whichever one's more important. We know the truth.